Blog Talk Radio.
I love my she's so sweet, so sweet. Mother gave me life. I wouldn't be here without my mother.
Hey, Robert, did you do that, man? How you doing?
Hey, Leon, can you hear me?
Yeah, man. We done, man. We can go ahead and break that, man. Look, we're getting ready to go ahead and get the show started, man. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Hey.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Brothers for Real Talk Show, man. We're getting ready to get a little crazy right here tonight. Welcome to the Brothers for Real Talk Show. Tonight we have Miss Nick Nodaro. Did I say it right? And she's
not
also a verbal portrait of Nodaro. See? Not even close. Nick Nodaro. And she's the author of verbal portrait. So she.
Yep.
And we're going to get Daniel down over there. We got somebody. Nick. Nick, are you on cell phone?
I'm on my cell phone. What you need?
Are you in your car traveling?
I'm in my car.
Yeah. I tell you what you can do for us. Will you do me a favor?
Yep.
Take it off speaker or whatever.
Yep.
That's much better.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Perfect. So, brothers, we're getting ready to get our show started. We'd like to welcome everybody to the Brothers for Real radio show. Tonight, we'll, like I say, have a special guest. We'll talk about her in just a little bit. But first of all, I want you to know we're going to be speaking up. We're going to address some of the issues in her book and some of that, and she'll straighten me out if I'm wrong. Women empowerment. So we're going to be talking about that issue and some of all this other stuff that's going on in this country of ours. Not to mention R. Kelly, not to mention Donald Trump, not to mention those things, but we're going to get into that most likely. So like I said, welcome everybody to the show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. And Joseph Gatewood, we missed you a few weeks, man. What's been going on in Charlotte, brother?
And Charlotte has been off the chain. Of course, you know we had the NBA All-Stars here. Excuse me. Then followed that up with the CIAA tournament.
Mm.
And so we have really had a lot going on in Charlotte. Of course, the light rail is up and running. At capacity crowds and excuse me, and people are continuing to move to Charlotte like this is the Mecca. It's construction going on all over the place. Matter of fact, right across from my office, it's shut down because the street is shut down because they're building high-rise apartments. And of course, that's continuing to go on. Of course, affordable housing is continuing to be an issue here in Charlotte. Because all these people are coming down here from off, and they're bringing the high prices with them. So that's something.
Yeah, man. I don't know how y'all gonna deal with that.
That's something we are keeping an eye on as a community, and something that we are trying to work, to make sure that Charlotte stays affordable for the average working people. But anyway, this is Joseph Gatewood, calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of Gatewood Insurance, where you are safe in the gate.
What kind of insurance you sell, man?
What kind of insurance
What kind of insurance you sell, Joseph? Yes, sir.
I sell all kinds of insurance. We sell auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance. We doing commercial insurance. Matter of fact, we've been doing a lot of commercial insurance lately because, like I said, there's a lot of new buildings and new businesses growing up, and whatever people build, they have to have insurance to do it. So we're getting a little, getting some of that business. We do pension rollovers, just name it. We do bonds. So just about any type of insurance anybody needs, for a business, for their home, their life, their pension plans, IRA, all that stuff, we do it right here at Gatewood Insurance and Real Estate.
I'm going to ask you one quick question, and we're going to get off. You're going to leave it alone, man. Thank you. Thank you. Boy, that was a popular. Look, I'm going to ask you one quick question, and we're going to move on here. How much life insurance should a 30-year-old person with two kids have?
Well, what we try to base it on is of the income. Now, just right off the top of my head, a 30-year-old with two kids, do they have a mortgage?
Yes, let's do that. Let's do that. They got a mortgage or rent or something.
Yeah, that's right, housing. I would say typically they need about $500,000 of insurance if they got two kids. Because normally we're going to say they need at least $100,000 for each kid minimum. Then, of course, they need about $200,000 for rental expense or mortgage, whichever one they have, and about $100,000 for final expenses. And when we talk about final expenses, we're talking about more than just the barrier. We're talking about things that come up like leftover hospital bills, paying off debts, and of course the burial. So typically, 30-year-old with two kids, they need about $500,000 coverage.
Yeah. So the average person that comes in your office, how much do they already have at that age?
Zero. The average person, they have about zero.
Hey, how much do they have when they leave your office?
Typically, when they leave my office, they have about $250,000, about $250,000, because they generally don't want to pay the amount that it takes to do that. But, just like, say, for example, if you got a single female and, say she's about 33 years old, she can get a 30-year term policy, for about $26 a month, cover her and the kids. So it's very affordable, but a lot of people just don't make that a priority.
I got that right. I know that's right. A lot of these kids. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Robert, how's it going in the Queen? No, you're up there with Trump. How's it going up that way, man?
Man, greetings from the nation's capital. Well, Leon, as always, the marketing pulpit is centered and headquartered in the nation's capital, and we're about business development, economic empowerment, and we have our radio show, The Marketing Pulpit, on Radio 1 every Friday at 10:30 a.m., where we bring the marketing gospel. We also bring the Brothers for Real every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we have several other shows across the country. Glad to do that. And we also, right here in the capital, where a lot of craziness goes on, in the name of our president, number 45, and we also have crazy things going on in Congress. We got a rebellion going on in the Democratic Party. We have the left wing with AOC and Ms. Omar and Ms. Tlaib. They're kind of rebelling against Nancy Pelosi and company, and rightly so, because I think a lot of times somebody have to shake the established Democratic Party and let them know we're not just a toned down version of the Republican Party. So we've had some things going on this week about where they tried to censure Ms. Omar about some comments she made about Israel. And her comments were not anti-Semitic, if you ask me. She just said, look, we shouldn't be beholden to a foreign government. And so those kind of things are going on in Washington. So there's more going on except Trump, but Trump does seem to always find a way to get back in the center and in the headlines. So things are hopping up here in the nation's capital.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. Well, I'm just running by Marvin right quick. I'm down here in Marvin. I'm still down here where you guys were born. Y'all guys moved out and left us down here, but you guys reach back. I give you that. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you reaching back.
Well.
And we try to get more and more people to reach back. We had a beautiful thing at the Hollow Center yesterday. The NC Works Sand Hill Community Action Program and another group sponsored a job fair. Had about 15 employers
Wow.
on site at the Hollow Center. And every one of them had job openings. Every one of them had job openings that they could employ people that day. Well, you know, at least take the applications that day. And we got a good turnout from the community, people coming in and looking for jobs. So it was just a beautiful thing. And, of course, that's why the Hollis Center was developed to be a resource for the community. And it was just a beautiful thing for us to be able to host that event. And we plan to host other events. We have our big 5K coming up on May the 11th. And we got a 5K concert coming up on May the 11th. You may remember us talking to Miss Destiny Stone, who was on our radio show not too long ago. Anyway, she'll be the featured recording artist at our 5K concert after the 5K. After everybody goes home and take a good shower and relax and then come back, we're going to have a concert featuring Miss Destiny Stone after the 5K. That is our primary fundraiser, so that is the only way we can continue to serve our community. So we're working really hard to make sure that we can, this is a successful project. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on our show tonight, as I said earlier, thank you.
Got an enthusiastic crowd tonight.
You know what I'm saying? they are on it, man. The crowd is on it. Like I say, we have a home girl on the show tonight, guys. Yes,
home
sir.
Girl.
I'm gonna open the gate for her to start talking in a little bit. And please, when you start talking, Sherry, Nick, she's gonna straighten us out on that too, man. By the time this night is over, we're gonna be able to say that just right. Isn't that right? Sherry, how you doing?
Fine. Nick is doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the Brother Saria Radio Show. As you can say, it's like we're just sitting around the house drinking coffee with you. We're just, that's the kind of atmosphere we like to try to set up here. So, or whatever you drink. We're drinking coffee, right, guys?
Coffee.
Yeah. Coffee, yeah.
Coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We're very excited about what you're doing in the world today, and we're very fortunate. We feel very fortunate to have you on the show. So if you don't mind, just give us a little background. Tell us where you're from, what you're doing now, and then we'll get into some other stuff about verbal portraits of she, okay?
All right. So originally born and raised in Reedsboro, North Carolina. Moved up to Wake County to raise my children. Yeah. Yeah, big old
city. Crowd,
and, yeah, and so now I am in Mecklenburg County. I have one grown son, and I have a daughter who's a senior in high school. And so I've started back doing plays and all those things, all things theater. Spring Theater tonight.
Okay, I was wondering. So that you're going to be at Little Rock AME Cultural Center.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Is that where Dr. Walker is the pastor?
I'm not sure. He may be the pastor of the church. I'm not sure because I'm not very familiar with their congregation, but I'm very familiar with their cultural center. Yeah.
Got you. Yeah, Dr. Walker, he was at Livingstone while I was there. So, yeah, he's a good guy.
Okay.
Big guy. Yeah, good guy. Good stuff. You got a good spot. They have it. So,
okay.
Tell us about the book you're getting ready to. The play is based on the book you wrote, right? Verbal Portraits of She.
Right. It's a portrait book that I have yet to release. Every time, it's as true now as it was 7, 8 years ago. Every time I get ready to release the portrait book, I start writing more poems. And so Verbal Portraits of She, we try to do it in March or the early part of the year because March is Women's History Month. And so it's symbolic because of that. The poems range in genre from women, you know, liberation, newfound freedom, domestic violence, what it means to be beautiful, and some of the joys and the upsets at the same time of single motherhood. And so it is this time around we're doing it in dinner theater style where the patrons will come in and see the show, and after the show then they will go downstairs to have dinner. And it is a full dinner. It's nothing snippy. It's a really good dinner.
Yeah, right. Chicken and potato salad.
No, we are
No yams.
I thought about sweet potatoes, but we're not doing those. We're doing shrimp and grits or baked chicken. You know, we got to have the bird, and then you have your choice of two sides. Got to have the bird, and then you'll have a dessert.
Got to have the
sweet
bird.
Tea and drink. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, y'all don't be putting like grit. Y'all don't be putting like cheese in your grits, do you?
Cheese?
Yeah.
Did you say cheese?
You don't put cheese in your grits.
Oh. I put cheese in my grits. What's wrong?
Okay. I just want some plain grits.
That makes a good some plain grits. Well, if you come to the show, let me know that you're coming. I will get you a small bowl of plain grits with no seasoning, no nothing.
Give me some grits with some butter on it. Hey Leon, you put cheese on your grits?
Right. No, man, I'm going to tell you, I buy grits, and every now and then the guys accidentally forget that I don't want cheese on my grits, and they put mozzarella cheese in the grits. Man, can you imagine that? Mozzarella cheese in my grits, man.
What about Gable Boys don't that's like that. Cheese in their grits? Hey, Joseph, you like cheese in your grits?
You like what?
You like cheese in your grits?
Cheese.
No.
Come on. I like cheese and a little bit of grape jelly.
Yucky. Making me sick.
Sabrina Huff is on the line. Hey, Sabrina, how you doing?
Hi, and yes, I like cheese in my grits.
Oh, boy, this is a woman, man-woman thing here. Oh,
yes,
boy, okay.
Oh.
Okay, I see this going.
And I would love to hear more about that show that's going to take place. What's the date?
Oh, it's coming up.
Right now we're getting them verbal portraits of cheese.
And grit. You gotta get through the line... What the line you go through when people be hitting you with a belt and you run through it? What do you call that?
Belt line.
You got to get through the Gatewood Brothers belt line first.
Oh, I love that.
And today the belt line is made of grits and cheese. Anyway, I'm done with it.
Now I'm gonna ask you later. Let me go right back. Let me kind of close this cheese and grits thing out. Ladies, is there a specific kind of cheese?
Yes, cheddar. It is not mozzarella.
Not mozzarella.
No, it's not mozzarella.
They put mozzarella in your grits to fool you into thinking ain't no cheese in them.
But
that's the worst way to fool somebody, because that mozzarella cheese is real slimy and sticky, and you bring it up from the plate, and
it's just a lot.
And it's still coming, you know?
The whole plate
still coming
after
it gets to your mouth.
Yeah.
That's
look at it, you don't think it has cheese in it.
You don't see
you?
It. Mm-mm.
That's why do you want to do
cruel
it like
joke.
That? Why do you want to do
it's
it
cruel.
Like that?
Yeah,
no, they mess with you. That's personal. That's personal. You need to check the folks that's cooking your cheese, your grit. Because you're
it's
supposed to put cheddar cheese in grit.
Cheddar, yes. But they probably do Mr. Gatewood like that because he's always posting pictures of his half-eaten food. And it's like, okay, that looked like it would have been good. So that's probably them saying, hey, don't post any more pictures of your food when you've already bitten into it.
Oh, God. That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'll fall for that.
Oh, my.
No, wait.
That's what happened when
I
found grit.
That mozzarella cheese.
No mozzarella.
That's what happened. You found cheese in your grits.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Sabrina's on the line, guys. Sabrina Huff's on the line, guys, and she wants to. We're gonna go back into verbal portraits of she, Ms. Nick.
Come in.
Like I say, we'd like to congratulate you on this book, and you say you keep
changing
poems. But every year, you end up writing some more poems, but everything seems relative from it. It's just kind of like the Bible. It's relative no matter when you read it, isn't that right? The truth is
that's
always
right.
relative.
That's right.
Now, that's the fact.
And it's always welcome.
Truth is always relative. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the book. Let's talk a little more about the book and the play. Now, when did you first write it? And what was your first edition of it?
2009. Okay. Yes. So 10 years ago. And then we did the play January of 2010. In Wade, we came to Hampton B. Ellen's Theater downstairs, and mm-hmm. we did it there. That was the first time. And then we have traveled. Mm-hmm. I've done it in Wadesboro twice, and then we've done Durham a couple of times, and now Charlotte.
Wow. You have a few. I noticed you have Miss. I think you turn your phone back on.
No,
like somebody
actually,
around
I'm
the airplane.
Phone.
Okay. Yeah, you're gonna turn somebody off here. Sabrina.
She might have just muted her line.
Yeah. So here we go. Tell people how they can get tickets to your show.
So you can go to Eventbrite and type in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then type in Verbal Portraits of She. And there are two shows on Saturday, March the 16th. There's a 12 o'clock show and a 4 o'clock show. I'm asking that people would purchase their tickets online so that we don't run out of food and we don't have this big surplus. So we want to be balanced.
No, that's good.
We will take money at the door, so no need to worry. But I hope and pray that we don't have like 90% of ticket sales at the door. So that wouldn't be good.
Anyway, in other words, y'all want to have to sit down to KFC to get some food. I know what you mean.
You know what? I was just getting ready to say, I don't want to have to go to Kentucky Fried.
You don't want to run out of grits.
That's right. I don't want to run out of grits.
Unless it's a cheese grits, right. Then you can run out of those.
But you know what? It's going to be seasoned very good, and you're going to have some good shrimp in there, and we will have people serving the food so that people are not picking the shrimp out of the grits. Because I've been to a few events where
yeah.
I did see people doing it. And so they will be served. And so we're really looking forward to it. I have a whole new cast. I've never worked with any of these ladies before. So that's a little bit, it makes me a little nervous. But they have really, really worked hard at learning their pieces and taking pride in their particular scene. And so I'm really looking forward to it.
So
and where is it
going to
be again?
Local.
I'm sorry. I actually have Irene Harrington from Livesville. She's going to be on there, mm-hmm. and then the rest of them are Charlotte. And this is going to be at Little Rock AME Cultural Center,
okay.
401 North Myers Street, Charlotte, North Carolina, Saturday, March the 16th at 12 and 4 p.m. Parking is free.
Wow, that's next week.
Parking is free. Now, that's big.
Yes.
And that is no small thing to have free parking. After you come
right.
from the CIAA, you realize the importance of having free parking.
Free parking, that's correct.
Are grits included with your ticket?
Back to the CIAA again.
The dinner is included with your ticket.
Including grits.
And if you choose to get shrimp and grits, yes, or you can have the baked birds.
All right, there you
and
go.
And my mother, so just a little plug, my mother is cooking most of the desserts.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
What's mom going to throw down with? What's she bringing?
Well, she's not here, but she does a really good pound cake. So she's doing a lot of pound cake, and then I'll also do some desserts as well. Mm-hmm.
You making some too?
There's nothing. I'm making some desserts, yes.
All right.
I'm working on making my world-famous banana pudding. Huh?
Ooh, I was about to say banana pudding.
I'm making my world famous banana pudding. You better come get you some.
I'm coming from D.C. for that.
I want some pound cake. Hey, Rob. I want some pound cake with my coffee.
Oh,
with
man. That
sounds
good. That sounds good.
I like, but let me tell you, being that I'm from Wadesboro now, I like pound cake with some cheese, with some hoop cheese. And put the hoop cheese on top of the pound cake while it's still just a little warm and, you know, break it up and eat it like that.
Man, you put cheese on everything, don't you?
I wasn't even going to address that.
That's something my grandmother started me doing when I was a little girl, and I love it. I don't do it all the time, but I love a piece of hoop cheese with a fresh piece of pound cake.
What's hoop cheese, though? What is hoop cheese?
I don't know, but I know you don't have to put it in the refrigerator. And we get ours from Refill Beef Center.
Hoop cheese is that cheese that, you know, it's got that wrapper around it. It's got some cloth around
it's either,
it, man, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the
wax.
Yeah.
It's the wax, either red or black.
Yeah, wax paper.
One.
Yeah, wax paper.
Yeah.
Like they put around the bologna meat.
Country,
that
boy. Like that around the bologna meat. Y'all getting down tonight, bro.
You can take me out of Waynesboro, but you can't take
me. You start talking
to
people from Waynesboro, bro. You get in all kind of conversations.
Y'all getting too country down there. Y'all be talking about cracklings and salsa meat after a while.
No, I don't like that, but I do like liver pudding.
Yucky.
You might well eat chitlins.
And, oh no! I don't want the chitlins. No, thank you.
All right.
One of the subjects
In your book, I noticed is we're working on women's empowerment.
Yes.
Now, this stuff going on these days with Me Too and things going on with Donald Trump and his sexual harassment issues and R. Kelly and his sexual harassment and all kinds of issues.
Hey, Leon.
Man, you see R. Kelly on Gay or King, man?
Yeah.
We're going to leave and go on another kind of vacation to the Grand Canyon.
Hold on.
I was devastated.
Got the wrong one.
Michael.
That was Michael's part.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. Y'all, I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I can't help 30 years.
Robert.
Wow, things getting really intense there. That's R. Kelly in his shocking first interview since his arrest. The segment, hosted by Gayle King, aired Wednesday on CBS This Morning. As you can see there, at one point in his over 80-minute sit-down with King, Kelly becomes hysterical, lunging out of his seat, pacing around the room. Mm-hmm. His publicist then stepped in to calm him down, kind of powder his face. They helped Kelly regain his composure. This is the first public statement R. Kelly has made since being released on bail after being charged with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse.
Yeah, I know they wanted to lock him back up after that.
And he is in jail now for all that back child support.
And got him again.
Yes, because he owes over $100,000 in child support.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Yes. Somebody
What's going on?
To find us out, but okay.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? Are we ever going to have normalcy again?
This is the path to it because we've allowed so many, you know, it's been the hush, don't say anything, and don't ask, don't tell as far as abuse and harassment and, you know, people get paid off. And I think that we've just had enough and women have finally, you know, came together and said, hey, we do not have to take this, and we're not. And so the Me Too movement, and you got some other celebrities, Bill Cosby, and like you mentioned in 45 and R. Kelly, you know, they're not the only ones, but they are out there and they're, you know, what's relevant to today.
Now, some people out there may not know what 45 means.
Let me ask you a question, Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
What's the difference? Now, of course, I'm not trying to defend R. Kelly for his behavior, but what's the difference between what's going on in R. Kelly's house and what was going on at Hugh Hefner's house at the Playboy Mansion?
Joseph, now, are you asking, is that a rhetorical question? Do you really expect me to answer that?
It is a rhetorical question. Yes, it is. But I'm just putting it out there for...
I hear you, though. Yeah. Nothing. No difference.
I say lock them both up.
Yeah, well you know,
well,
he's
dead
now.
He's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
And what's the guy's name? What's the guy from the Patriots? What's his name?
Robert
Kraft.
I know you're talking about
Kraft.
Yeah, the guy that the guy that's been involved in human trafficking.
Lock him up too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna make this easy for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, all this kind of stuff has to stop. But all of a sudden, it's out here. And it seems like to me they always want to make the poster boy for anything terrible a black person, of course. But, I mean, you don't do stuff wrong regardless whether you're black or white. But we just don't need to get too caught up into, dragging R. Kelly up and down the street. I mean, what he did was terrible. What they said he did was terrible. What Bill Cosby, what he did, if he did it, is terrible. But it seemed like everybody, the public, has a tendency to look the other way when it's somebody of the other hue. Like, I mean, Hugh Hefner, I mean, he started with, Marilyn Monroe back in 1953? And that's how he made his claim to fame. I mean every celebrity, they make a big deal about, they've been to the Playboy Mansion. Matter of fact, one of the ladies that accused Bill Cosby, it happened at the Playboy Mansion. What? You accuse somebody of sexually harassing you and you at the Playboy Mansion? Come on, give me a break. Okay, yeah. I'm done.
Well, that's thought-provoking, Joseph.
It is. Something to think about.
But to answer your question, I don't know the difference between what R. Kelly did and what this Hugh Hefner guy was just known for doing, and it was cute. The ladies walk around with little bunny tails and stuff, I guess that's the difference. But R. Kelly didn't have a little bunny tail. I don't know.
And he didn't have a magazine.
Right.
I think that he had
a magazine too.
But pretty much, he did. Playboy. But pretty much everybody rubbed elbows with Hugh Hefner, though. Where at the Playboy Mansion, you would find, senators. You would find, people, big CEOs. You would common men, actors, actresses. So it's pretty much, his elbow touched pretty much everybody. There was nobody that he couldn't reach. And so when you are that popular and your hand is in that many people's hands, you can pretty much get away with what you want to get away with.
Yeah, I agree that there does seem to be a heightened interest in proclivities of people of color. I think that we, however, have to hold the same standard to Hugh Hefner and 45 and Kelly and Cosby or whomever commits these atrocities, and let's not let drop our standards because the media or people on the other side decide to give less attention to, because we're going to, if the perpetrators in our community, we're the one that's going to be affected. It's our children, it's our women that's going to be affected by them. So we have to hold those people to the same standard. People talk about Wakanda and, all this this La La Land and Utopia, but we don't want a Wakanda where we have child molesters and rapists walking, running free. We have to we have to make our community strong and pure for our children, because they are going to be our future. And then we hold the media, we hold their feet to the fire. We can do both. We can make that we're maintaining our standards, our integrity, and we are, as a people, have been the conscience of America, whether we admit it or not. We have been assigned that role, whether we even deserve it or want it. We have been the surrogates for the America's conscience. So we have to hold the feet to the fire of CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC. When they drop the ball and don't give the right amount of attention to people like Weinstein and Robert Kraft and Hugh Hefner, our job and our responsibility is to make sure they do it. But at the same time, that doesn't mean let's let rapists and child molesters go free. That's my position.
But the point that I'm making is to stop. I just don't like the way they always have to make a black person the poster boy. Because when they make a black person the poster boy, well, that affects all of us black people. Because people going to be looking at me different, looking at you different, because, he looked like R. Kelly, or he looked like Bill Cosby. But by the same token, you know, you got this white guy over here. He's doing things a whole lot worse. Been doing them all his life and going to continue to do it. Matter of fact, they're even doing it while we're talking about it. But like, I understand what you're saying. We, of course, we don't want to, like the scripture says, we don't want to take up the ways of our oppressors. But at the same time, we got to be mindful of the fact that there is an attempt by the media to always make us the poster boy for everything that's negative and bad in America.
Yeah, I think that's beyond debate. I think there's no debate. That's certain. I'm certain that that's the case, and that's why I think that's why we actually have platforms like the Marketing Pulpit, so that we can have a platform that we can actually inform our community of the positive things that are going on. People like Miss Carterell over there, Miss Huff, and the Gatewood Brothers, and Destiny right. Stone, and Gina. We have to provide these platforms. So as we're calling out wrongdoings on the other side of people who have who seem to be getting a free pass, we have to call them out. We have to shine a positive spotlight on people that are doing great things. And last but not least, when we're doing wrong, we have to make sure that they're not harming us. They're not harming our women and our children, and that they're. There's a dichotomy when we have to throw our black men and our women into a justice system that we know is biased. That's a tough decision. And I'm sure everybody who's ever had to turn in somebody, I know women have they're in a very precarious predicament when they have to call the police on one of their men. That's hard. So we do have to live this duality that's really more acute in our community than any other community. Because we know once we throw them into that system, they're going to get grind up in a system that's unjust. I wish I had an answer today. But what I always say, when you're not sure what to do, do what's right. And let
that's
the chip
right.
fall where they may.
There you go. I agree 100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying look the other way when these folks do this stuff. Because, you know, my discontent is not with us, but it's just that is with how the media likes to always portray us in a certain way, and basically what I'm saying, we don't want to take up that way either, that we are mm-hmm. constantly, you know, wrecking, you know, our brothers or whatever over the coast. Yeah, they made mistakes, shouldn't have done it, you know, but we got a guy up here in the White House, I'm sure he's done worse things than R. Kelly. Oh. And of course, and he gets a pass. So, but
now that's the other.
That guy in the White House has done a worse thing than everybody.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
A, man.
That's
you know, it's almost like.
And see, the thing about it, see, they can forgive each other in a heartbeat.
You know what? I think sometimes I say, as long as Trump in the White House, we should empty the prisons.
That's right.
You know,
mean,
I said
nobody
to somebody
should
today.
Until he's out of there. What's that, Leon?
I said that to somebody today, that very word, that very line you just said. I said,
is that right?
They need to clean the prisons out. I have no lie. I said, that's
because
the standard. If he's the standard,
the
prisons
open up the gate.
Empty out.
Let
everybody get a pass, okay?
Because you're
okay. So everybody get out. Just don't do nothing wrong in the next 30 days. If you do something wrong in the next 30 days, you're going to get you right back in there and start your whole thing. But everybody gets out right now.
Can I add something?
Come on, Sabrina.
What
you got, Sabrina? Come on.
So, Robert, well, no, not Robert. I think it was Joseph just making the statement about, and this is the way I interpret it, that you can line up 10 African-American men, and I'm not talking about in a police lineup. I'm talking just general lineup. You can sit them on a panel, and they never open their mouths. They are all seen as the same person until they open their mouth or until they do something. I think this country has taken our men and categorize them all in one heap. And the sad thing is this, sometimes even we do it, and I'm talking we as African-American women, sometimes we will see our men all the same until he has to prove us wrong instead of seeing the strength from within him or from within the DNA that he comes from. I posted a while back something that I saw on someone else's page that said our DNA survived the ship. And until we get back to that place of realizing that there's a DNA inside of our men, inside of our women, inside of our children that survived slave ships, not just this stuff that's going on over here. Our DNA is stronger than what's going on over here. And we have to take that back.
Yeah, there has been a cultural conditioning of America. Now, cultural conditioning, when you get into the get down to its core, it affects black, white, Asian, Latino, Muslim, Christian, young and old. Cultural conditioning is the concept that black is inferior, white is superior, black people are criminals, white people are the good guy in the white hat. That's a cultural conditioning. And so the accent, the point that Joseph was making is that when you're constantly bombarded with images of R. Kelly and Michael Jackson and Bill Cosby, raping and pedophiling, and it reinforces that. And that's the challenge. That's the dilemma we're faced with. And that's why sometimes, even though we're not looking away, we're not as quick to cast aspersions on people who are doing things that are downright dastardly. And it's, and I understand people. I understand. Sometimes I see people, it's like they become Trumpites. It's like Trump said, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and people will still vote for me or follow me. And sometimes I look at the R. Kelly's and the Cosby's and like, I can do no wrong because I have such a loyal following. It doesn't matter what I do, people still going to follow me. But that is part and the underbelly of that cultural conditioning is that we sometimes find ourselves looking the other way or not being as rigid in our judgment because we know how the system works, and it puts us in a very awkward position sometimes.
Yeah, because see the thing in America, here's how it works. Here's how it works, and unfortunately, it works on black people too. If one black person does something, the next black person come along, okay, you all guilty. If one white man does something, oh, no big deal. Just like I've been in the insurance business since 1981. And I've heard so many times somebody will say, well, the last time I had insurance with a black man, he did such and such, or he did this, or he did that. Maybe he did. But have you ever heard of, have you had another white man to do the same thing? Yeah. And then you go right to the next white man, hoping he's better. But once you're a black man and you get that that stigma, that black eye, everything from now on ain't doing no business with black person. Just like I was involved in a real estate transaction recently with a guy. Now he claimed he was upset with me, and of course he filed a complaint with the real estate commission. And basically the real estate commission said, yeah, okay. Didn't do anything to me. Basically what they told me in substance was, just stay away from people like that in the future. Even though he claimed that he was upset with me, he filed a claim against but the white guy. Now, of course, when he got ready to sell another property, he didn't fool with no black people, but guess what? He went and got a white person to list his property. Even though the number one person involved in his complaint, they were white. But he decided he ain't doing business with black people, but doing business with some white people is okay. But I'm just saying, we always, it don't work the same with black people as it does with white people. It don't work that way.
Joe, let me
one black person does it, All y'all guilty.
Let me help you make your point, Joe. And not you need my help, but I want to reinforce. If justice and the media was fair, we'd have wall-to-wall covering of white men shooting up schools and shooting up bars and shooting up restaurants and shooting up government buildings. Because look at the number of deaths. Look at the number of deaths that have happened at the hands of white men. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that all white men are going to go out and kill. But based on the numbers, what black men have done is minuscule. What Muslim men have done is minuscule compared to the other side. So nobody should be painted with a broad brush. Black, white, or anybody, judge people on their merits. If you do something wrong, judge that one person. That's it. Don't paint the whole race, no matter what that race is. But that's not the way it works.
True story.
That's not the way it works.
True story, guys. Every time I do something, I try to do it the very best I can because I know exactly what you guys are saying is true. If I screw it up, I done screwed it up for a whole line of black folk.
That's right.
If I don't show up on time, no, the Negroes are not going to call another Negro. They're not going to do it. They're gonna try to find somebody else to call. That's just the way it works. So I just try to make sure that I am my very best. I give the very best service I can. And I know you now see that you guys have the very same ethics, same business ethic. You do your very best because
Leon, Robert,
yes,
I have to run the best, most efficient agency on North Tryon Street.
Yeah.
Gatewood has. Otherwise, I would not have one customer.
But you know what, Joe, that's interesting that you said that because, and Leon, when I first started my company, I was like a lot of people that start a business. You try to fudge the rules a little bit. You kind of run right up to the edge on things. But then I started, once that realization hit me, just like what Joseph just said, that we're going to be judged not just by our actions, and it's not just going to affect us. It's going to affect everybody that follows us, that looks like us. And that light bulb went off one day. That light bulb went off, and I just made a pledge and a promise. I said, I'm going to show people the right way to be in business because I am setting an example, and I'm being judged, and everybody that looked like me is being judged on my actions.
That's
the reality of it. That's the reality.
That's one thing you can count on, brothers. You are being judged. Once you're judged, and depending on your verdict, you're going to affect the lives of a whole lot of people that look like you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a fact. Let me tell you, I've been watching this Cohen hearing, and it's amazing to me how these guys, knowing how Trump lies, these guys continue to call, and Cohen's funny, they call him a liar. They say, you're a liar. And then one time Cohen stops, who you talking about, me or the president? I mean, this is totally.
That was
just
funny.
These guys are so crazy, man. I don't know. This is just some immoral, the immorality of the leadership of this country that's being exposed to an extent where it's really detrimental to this country. It's sad. It's really sad, and I don't see how we're going to overcome it. I don't know how anybody's going to ever believe in this country again based on what's going on in this country at the present. It's just sad to me.
But you know how they changed the playbook, Leon, because once upon a time, this predated the internet and social media. They could hide things, they just kept everything under the rug. But they can't do that now, so what they have done in lieu of that is to lower the standard. They just keep lowering the standard on what's acceptable. I mean, and Trump is the best example of that as you can find. Keep lowering the standard because we can't hide our dirt anymore. Since it's out there, we got to make it acceptable. And that is ruining everybody.
Right.
That's ruining the country.
It's ruining. It's sad. It's really sad. It's sad. That's the best word I can think of right now for it, but it's really sad.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Brother For Real radio show. We had Nick Notarell. Did I say it right, Robert?
What happened to Nick? We chased her off.
Nick fell off, man. Yeah, she texted me on Facebook message and said that she got cut off down there somewhere. She was traveling, yeah. But anyway, she was one of the things in her book, she was talking about women empowerment, and it's a tough time for everybody right now, because I was just reading about this lady, Senator Martha, Martha McSally, saying now she's come forward and said she was raped while she was in the Air Force.
I'm gonna tie this into the last statement I just made. All of these folks that have done this dirt is coming out. And all these folks aren't going to prison, I can tell you that right now. Because they have friends in high places. They're gonna change the rules. That's what's gonna happen. You're gonna see the rules are being written as we speak on how to make some of these sins become less offensive. And that's a tragedy, because you're looking at what's happening in the Catholic Church, you're looking at what's happening in the military, what's happening on Capitol Hill, in the White House. There's going to be nobody left. So what are they going to do? Put everybody in jail? So, and then it goes back to, so now when you start seeing somebody like R. Kelly, it's almost like, well, good God, man, look at what else, look at everybody else. Man, everybody else is doing it. Why are you going to pick this guy? I'm not saying that's, I'm definitely not saying that's the right attitude, but I can understand how people can lean that way, because they're looking at all these other things that people are doing that are so terrible, and they're out here walking around free.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like Trump.
And another thing, with all due respect to women, but I'm tired of these women coming up with accusations at 30 years old. I'm just tired of that.
Hey, Joseph.
About to get in trouble now, Joseph.
Joseph?
I mean, really.
Joseph,
I'm really. They need to put a time limit on it.
Can I say
would
something
say, look,
to that?
No, let me finish, and then you go ahead and say what you want to say.
Joseph,
so what I want to say is, okay, if you've been sexually harassed, if you've been sexually harassed or violated or whatever, okay, you got 3 years to come forward with it, okay? That is, if you are 21 years old or older, you got 3 years to come forward with it. But if you are a child, if you are a female under 21, there's no statute of limitation on it. You follow me? You can come back whatever time. But for these grown women coming up talking about they were at this Playboy mansion and mine. Employer harassed me when I was 30 years old, and you 70 years old now. I'm tired of that. But go ahead.
Joseph, I wasn't trying to cut you off. Guess what? I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
I think it has gotten so now anybody can come up and say, I was at wherever at 25, at 30, and like you said, now you're 70 years old and you want, come on.
Yeah.
Now, the little girls with the situation with R. Kelly, absolutely. It's time.
Yeah, girls, young
it's past
women,
time.
Yeah. If you're under 21, hey, no statute of limitations.
I absolutely agree with you.
Joe, I was about
it's
to.
Really gotten out of hand.
I was about to I disagree with you. When you put the age restrictions in there, I said, well, okay, that's a little more palatable, because
he's been thinking about it.
I don't think
there
should be no statute of limitation on children.
No statute of limitation on children. You do something like that to a kid, if they can come up, if you're 90 years old, you still need to pay for that.
Yeah. So yeah. But I do. It does get frustrating. I look at the case in Virginia with the lieutenant governor Justin Fairfax.
Yeah.
And he had the two ladies. And I've been following a lot of cases, and that's the one where I have not – usually I'm usually one of these folks – I'm the first one to come out and support the victims. And in that case, I have held my – I'm in kind of like a holding pattern. It's like, this one is different. This is different.
Yeah.
This was, there was no power, there was no situation where one had more power than the other. There was no age discrepancy. They were almost equal in just about every way. And but it was just two different versions of what happened. And so that one, I have not sided with the victim on that one. I might at some point, but as of right now, I just need this. I need that is a case that begs for a hearing. Well, we need to hear both sides of what happened.
And then she talking about he forced her to have oral sex on. How did you do that? I'm just at a loss. How do you do that? I'm a man, but how do you do that?
That's not a good question. Don't ask that question.
Yeah, that's one of those questions. Unless you're a woman, I mean, I can't see it, but I'm sure that there's probably, if you feel threatened maybe, or if the situation
But like you said, he has no power over her. They're about the same age. They're in the school, the same college. He got just much to lose, cheap, same amount. What's the deal here? You wait till he gets to be lieutenant governor. He harassed me. He forced me to have sex with him. What?
Well, I think we need more information. I don't want to dismiss them, and their claims could have some merit. I haven't seen enough yet to say that the lieutenant governor should lose his job at this point.
Yeah, you hadn't bought into it yet.
Not yet, I'm usually the first one to jump. It's called me a bleeding heart or whatever. I'm always supporting an underdog. But
yeah,
in this case,
I
noticed that about you, Robert.
I got three daughters and two granddaughters, so I'm definitely gonna be against anybody who violates a woman, a female. Because if somebody violates some of my girls, of course, wife, you know, you might read about me in the paper. That's just how strong I am about that. So I would be the last one to go out here to defend a sex predator. But you coming up 20 and 30, it's like some of them women in Bill Cosby's case. They were 27 years old at the time, and now they're 70. What?
It's hard to look at them. I mean, when I say look at them.
Yeah.
They're hurting themselves coming up so late because it's hard to look at them and imagine that, you know.
You be thinking, you don't even remember what you did 30 years ago.
I will say this, just to add a little balance. There is such a thing as repressed memory, and there's such a thing as guilt and power and fear of repercussion that sometimes, even though you may be in your 20s and you're dealing with somebody who's a successful person or a star or something like that, you are afraid to come forward because you feel like you may have some serious repercussions, either in your family life, your career, your job, your education. I mean, like the case in Clarence Thomas' case, Anita Hill came out and she told it. She told the whole story, and nobody believed her. And
right. Well, you know,
Clarence Thomas went on to become the Supreme Court Justice. And that was very discouraging to a lot of women who might come out and say, these kind of things happened to me. But when you have those kind of examples that are out there front and center, it makes them hesitate and maybe not be as likely to come forward.
I don't
remember the time frame. Do you remember how long what the time frame was? It was kind of recent with her, though, right? I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah,
like,
no, it wasn't
that
old because
10,
they were
young ago.
People. I mean, here's the white folk thinking on that. Well, she's black and he's black. Well, that's just what they do. that's why they let that go. That's what they do. Okay, let's move on.
But you know what? It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt Joe Biden when he throws his hat in the ring. People are just waiting to jump on that when he comes out. They go, "Why didn't you protect Anita Hill? Why didn't you bring out that witness that they had? That was supposedly another witness to corroborate her story, but they closed down the hearing before they could give that person a chance to speak, and they put that at the foot of Joe Biden. So he may have to pay for that in the long run."
You know, but when you're saying that, after I look at Trump, it's just hard to predict what people have to pay for these days. I don't know.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah. Why
Joe Biden is old. Anything Joe Biden going to have to answer for, he's going to answer for, had to answer for that in heaven. So.
That's cold.
I mean, you know, Joe Biden was 80 years old.
He's like 79 or something like that. He's,
yeah, what I'm saying is political career is over. So anything he got an answer for that boy, he gonna have to talk to that to the big man, you know.
He's about to run for president though. He's gonna throw his hat in. He's still right on the fence. He's about to join.
He need to stay on the fence. But if Joe Biden,
Joe's a robber,
make an announcement right here tonight,
Leon, we're gonna have to get out of here, guys. Look, we done talked our time up, guys. Thank you for joining us tonight, Sabrina. You're always welcome to come in. Yes, sir.
I'm going to make this announcement first. If Joe Biden announces he's running for president, I'm running also. So you heard it here first. So if Joe Biden announces he's running for president, I'm getting in the race.
Joe's up for president.
You heard it here
first,
folks.
Man,
Joe
could be a team. He could be your running mate, Joe. He ran with Barack Biden. He could be your sidekick. Joe and Joe.
I hadn't thought about that, Robert. Hey, I know I'm running in.
We'll be back next week, folks. Please come back.
All right, brothers.
Brothers, we out of here. Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Joseph. Come back, man. Hey, Robert, I talked to Leon today, man.
What?
I talked to Leon today. You know, Leon, yeah, Leon doing great, man. You know, her birthday was yesterday.
Yeah, her birthday is March 5th, right?
Yeah, it was yesterday, bro.
Yeah, man, I got a record.
I got my card from Piggy today, man.
When your birthday? When is your birthday? Like, Monday?
My birthday is March 22nd. I already got my card from Piggy, though, bro.
Oh, that right.
Yeah, man.
Man, we should have given Joseph some birthday love. His birthday is before we meet again.
The 9th.
Yep, March 9th.
Yeah, and Daniel was the 3rd.
Daniel's the 4th.
4th, okay.
Yeah. And then Boots was in there somewhere.
Yeah, Boots was in there somewhere.
All right, man. Look, I'm gonna tell you happy birthday now in case I forget. I'll tell you again before now, but just in case.
All right, man. I'm out of here, bro. Have a good night, man.
All right, bro. Take care, man.
Good night.